Okay, let's follow up from Zechariah chapter 8 this morning at 1 Samuel chapter 1. The question that we have, whether it's asked or not, audibly or outwardly, is what are we going to do when we're down? When we get in a slump, when we're low, when our hearts are heavy, and everything seems to be not what it used to be, now it's bad. And it gets bad to the point where you just drag if you allow it. And most people in our day, and it's been not just in recent times, but for a long time, figure that if you're down, there's nothing you can do about it. That you just have to be down until such things change, somebody does something or something happens to get you out of that. But now there are commands in Scripture such as rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't mean the circumstance will change, but that there is an action we're to take to not go down to the pit, even if our circumstances are there. Verse 1, 1 Samuel 1. Now, there was a certain man of Ramath-aam-Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, of the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. The man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Let's pray. Lord, it's good in days when everything is sunny and things are going well to think of the blessings that we have and to live our lives in a way that's not as hard, But Lord, when things are bad, there takes an effort for us to even get out of bed and go about our day. And many, Lord, we know become so depressed and so weighed down that they even quit on life and quit on ministry, quit on family, quit on praying, and even, Lord, quit on you. So it's a serious problem, and one that has been misconstrued as to what we should do about it in our day. But I thank you, Lord, that you give us encouragement in your word that we might know what to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's quite a situation here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're told a little bit, just in the start, that there was a man, he had two wives. There's your first hardship. and that in God's providence, one wife had children, but the other had no children. Now that kind of setup, even if all had children, is a hard thing. But when one has a child, and more than one in this case, sons and daughters are mentioned, and the other, although wanting children, has none, you've got a problem. We know that in this kind of a situation, we know it from the life of Jacob, which we're not to on Wednesday night yet. In the later part, we are in the earlier part. But when you have more than one wife, there's a competition going on. There's some strife built into it. You can understand just from the situation. But now this Penina is a real jewel of a woman. Not only has the Lord blessed her with children, the devil has cursed her with a mouth that chides Hannah for having no children. I mean, it just seems like it's too childish to be considered. Here's a woman that has a lot of kids, has been blessed by the Lord in that regard. Her husband doesn't favor her. We're told here that that Elkanah loved Hannah and gave her a double portion. So, as far as playing favorites, he liked Hannah the most. But Penina is the one with all the kids. And so in the normal course of going up, verse 3 tells us to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. This was before, of course, Jerusalem was the place where the Ark of God abode. That when they went up, she would just rail against Hannah about how she had children. Verse 6 tells us, and her rival also provoked her severely. Now, we don't know all that. We just know that that's what happened. It is classified there, characterized as provoking severely. I've heard of this and seen this in real life. It's just a mean-spirited way. I've got children. The Lord has blessed me. For some reason, the Lord hasn't blessed you. The Lord must know I'm going to be a good mother. The Lord must know you're not going to be a good mother, so you don't have children. It could go on and on. And the Bible tells us here that it was a severe provocation. And she was miserable. Now, Penina knew that. Penina didn't just say, oh, I didn't mean for that to hurt you. She means it for it to hurt as hard as it can hurt. Now, part of that's going to be because Penina is in second place in the love department. Penina sounds like the kind of woman you would not love the most by her behavior. She, probably recognizing that she's not the favorite, is angry and bitter in that regard. So she has no problem making Hannah miserable. Now, the closing of her womb, verse 5 and verse 6, tells us was from the Lord. The Lord closed Hannah's womb. Now, Vance Havner told us last week something of what probably the reason would be for this. In that when she was in this condition, she was desperate. And so she was brought to a place through that where in desperation she would cry out to the Lord. Peninnah is then her adversary, her rival, someone who is nothing but a thorn. And then she has to live in the same family, put up with all the kids of Peninnah that are there, and it's a horrible existence. And misery is the way it's described. Someone said they used to be depressed and miserable, but they turned their life around. Now they're miserable and depressed. So she was miserable, completely overcome by her condition, plus the added burden of her rival who provoked her. So when they go up, verse 7, it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Even the worship of God and the sacrifice that they do in, year by year going up to the sacrifice in Shiloh was an occasion not for glad hearts, but in Hannah's case, she was so upset that she wept and did not eat. It is the most hopeless, helpless kind of feeling for a woman not to be able to have a child when they want one. And it seems like, and there's all kinds of fables about this, it seems like the more you want a child, when you can't have a child, the less likely you're to have a child. And then on top of all this provocation, she will not eat, she's weeping. And Elkanah, bless his heart, has got the solution to the problem. And he says to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Verse 8, why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? There's no reason for this. Why? Because you have me. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I feel like his heart's in the right place. He wants to comfort his wife. His love is favored toward her, probably what he means. But I imagine when he said that, inside she said, no, actually it's not. But he's trying. So Hannah's in a situation here now where people are. Now, you do what you can. In our day, there's a lot of things you can do to try to fix this. Lot, but a good many. But her situation is in the place where most people now will just wait. They will hope the circumstances change. They will hope that this is the month that pregnancy comes, that conception occurs. And that you're in a waiting game. You're in a waiting posture until God does something or until things just happen and something works out. Or maybe you hope Peninnah will get better and not be so mean. But Hannah did what I think we see David doing in the Psalms over and over and over and over and over again. It's when you're down, you start to seek a way out. Some people today glory in misery. If you're miserable, then people expect that there's nothing you can do about it. And some people are liking the attention you get. People notice, oh, how miserable you are. Oh, I'm so sorry. And they want to stay there. But not Hannah. So it says in verse 9, Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Now, I have to say this about Hannah. She was not in the company of a bunch of men who had a lot of tender feelings and understanding. Because now she encounters Eli, the priest. His sons, by the way, are evil men. And Samuel is going to take their place in the whole house. But that's for another story farther down the line. So she is in verse 10, bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. See, what she's doing now is she is bringing this to the Lord. She is seeking God that he might open her womb. Now, to pray that way, of course, you have to believe that God can do this, that God can be approached in prayer. And she is, as Dr. Havner noted, she is desperate. And so she approaches the Lord and weeps in anguish. And she makes a vow, which often people in desperation will do. Lord, if you'll look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, vows are made sometimes in desperation you don't really mean. People back out of them. Lord knows her heart. And the Lord has a plan. And she says, if you'll make me to have a male child, I'll give him to the Lord. All the days of his life. She's speaking like of a Nazarite vow, and no razor shall come upon his head, in the same way of Samson. And so she made that petition to the Lord, before the Lord in Shiloh. And as she prayed, Eli was watching her mouth, verse 12. I guess Eli's never heard of people praying and moving their mouth, moving their lips while they're praying, but he thought she was drunk. So you got Peninnah chiding her because she doesn't have children. Eli, because she's drunk. So he thought. So he says, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Now, if she was drunk, that was an appropriate rebuke. Of course, not being drunk, she was sober enough to tell him that she wasn't drunk. And so Hannah was just speaking from her heart without audible words. Only the Lord could hear. And Hannah said, verse 15, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. She is pouring out her burden to the Lord. David does it. When he waters his couch with tears, he is appearing before God and pouring out his heart to the Lord. You know, we can do that. There's no shame in tears. Often men don't want to cry, but you can cry to the Lord. Even you can cry other places if you want to, but you can go to the Lord and cry. You can water your couch with tears. You can lay out your burden the grief of your heart. And sometimes if you're so grieved, it's like your whole heart fills up through the day. And by the time you can get before the Lord, the tears just flow out of you. And she was this way. And Eli saw that she was genuine. He saw his mistake and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." The expectation is that we've done all we can do when we've poured our heart out to the Lord. And perhaps in such a state as she was in, when the Lord is kind toward the brokenhearted, that the Lord might grant her request. And she took that as an encouragement. Now, this is nowhere near the explicit encouragement the Lord gave to the people in Zechariah's prophecy and message of chapter 8. The Lord was very explicit, very specific what he was going to do. He was with them. He was for them. He was going to dwell back in the city again. Everything was going to come back together. The people were going to come back. The city was going to be established. Old men and women, young children playing in the streets. All of that was coming. He was very specific. I hope he will answer your request. And she took that as an encouragement. And whereas she's anguished in heart, when she prays and when Eli says, "May the Lord grant your request," she says in verse 18, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I am impressed by that. You see, she was in anguish. Her heart was heavy. All those things that are said a number of times about Hannah is a great burden communicated to us. You can't just shake that off. When she got up from there, she still did not have children. When she got up from there, Penina still had all the kids. And she still had a mouth on her. But she took that, and she was encouraged, and she ate, and she was no longer sad. I like that. Verse 19, "Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." Now that's the way the Bible speaks of God choosing to answer the prayer. She asked, and he remembers the request. Of course, the Lord knows all things, but it's worded that way to show that he was inclined to favor her with the answer. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Hannah had been barren for some time, enough time for Penina to have a bunch of children, sons and daughters. And now, finally, she has a child, a son. What did she ask for again? A male child. Well, you got a 50-50 shot on that. You think that's how she looked at it? He said, "I asked him from the Lord. I named him Samuel because I've asked for him from the Lord." And the man, verse 21, "Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.'" Now, wait a minute. The vow is often used as leverage in prayer. "Oh, Lord, If you'll do this, I'll be yours forever. I'll never do. You know, and it's just they're empty vows and not hers. She had this thing planned. She's got this child she prayed for. She recognized that she got it from the Lord because she asked the Lord for him. And when she went up again, she was going to leave him there after she'd weaned him. And he would be there forever. She's not going back on anything she said. Verse 23, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. There's no mention here now of old Blabbermouth saying anything. We can call her Blabbermouth, can't we? Verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Now she is a completely changed woman. The burden that was upon her was substantial. And she brought that to the Lord, heavy as it was, and cried out to the Lord for the solution to that. And the Lord provided what she'd asked for. And then she goes into this chapter 2, her joy. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly." I wonder who she's talking about there. "Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble." I can't imagine who she's talking about there. "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So she is praising God, worshiping the Lord, a very strong prayer of God's sovereignty, of God's blessing, of the lowering of the wicked and the raising of the righteous, of the humble, having a place of blessing. Verse 11 says, "Elkanah went to his house in Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli priest. Now, that was not all for Hannah. Verse 21, we're told the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I would call that an answer to prayer. And here's a woman who is a good example to us of the deepest anguish in spirit. She didn't stay there. She didn't wallow in that misery. She brought it before the Lord. What's that song? We sung it here before. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Well, she did that because when she laid that burden out, she was okay. When I empty the groceries from the trunk of the car, sometime I'll see just how many I can carry. You put your hands through those little plastic things, you know, you get as many as you can. Both hands I'm talking about. And I'll pick them up and I'll know about what I got when I start taking the first couple of steps. Because at times I've taken some where it's like, let's get on in there really quick. And when you get that kind of load, by the time you get to the kitchen, you drop them off, you feel like you're okay now. You got through that. And Hannah did that. Once she got her burden to the Lord, who is, He's not stingy and mean-spirited like Penina. And He's not lacking in compassion like Eli seemed to be at first. But He's gracious and loving and compassionate and merciful. And she goes through all of that, what the Lord is. And how the Lord acts and does all things well. And she's a happy woman. Because she didn't stay there. She threw her burden down and got up and was blessed by the Lord and had three sons and two daughters. And it's a good example to us because we're going to get down. You're going to have low stuff. There's going to be all kinds of things in this world. We're not in heaven. We tend to want to stay around here, but this surely isn't heaven. And while we're here, we're going to have burdens. Some of them are going to be so bad that we're not going to feel like we can even move. But we got to move. And we got to gain the victory through the Lord. And that's what our work is to be. That's what our labors are to be. Not defeated by the enemy, but to rise and go and move on and lay our burdens to the Lord and go to the Lord. You go through the Psalms, you see where David goes through all that problem. What's he always doing? Brings his complaint before the Lord. And where the Lord is pleased to deliver him, and at the time the Lord is pleased to deliver him, that's when he gets out. And so may we do that. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?